Ah, very good morning. You're our rugby expert, Matt Burke. Burkey, I was always told by my mother,
yes,
Laurie. do not say the word unless you can spell it.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so I don't know how to spell it.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether it is a word, but you think, I can't even remember the word.
Innovative.
Innovative.
It depends on how you want to say it.
Right. Yeah, so that is a word.
Innovative. Right. Innovative.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you spell it?
No, I can't. No. We had a coach, Greg Smith, at one stage there, who's passed away since. He was the Australian coach, Waratahs coach. He was an English teacher, and he used to come out with the words at training. We'd sit there and just go, yeah, like, you know, nodding our head and then go, what does that mean? We have to go to the dictionary, literally. The old days, go to the dictionary and find out what it meant.
We're pretty much over Israel Folau. We've tried to avoid it for most of the week, Berkey, but the problem is that they're stoking the fire because Israel came out and in the player's voice and said that he was misrepresented by Raylan Castle, that he hadn't backed down on his comments, which is just a dagger, again, into Raylan Castle. She's the boss of the Australian Rugby Union, or Rugby Australia.
Yeah.
Yet nothing's going to happen. They've said, we're not going to sanction Israel Folau. Yet they're still trying to sign him. It's just an absolute mess. And now they've sent an email to all their sponsors saying, can you just drop off the issue for a while because it's very delicate?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I remember going out to a lunch years and years ago and Mark Taylor was copying an absolute pizzling as Australian captain. And he said, I just want a politician to take the heat off me to get back on the front page, so to speak. And you're right, it's dominating chat where it should be over. It should be done. I think, like Webby's article this morning, I think the Australian Rugby Union were quite weak on how it all went down because of the fact, Laurie, as you mentioned before we came in, they need to sign him. They need the best player in Australian rugby to stay with Australian rugby. But as you said last week, I think it was TK, you want the best player to want to stay in rugby union,
absolutely,
not shop himself around at the same time. I've got a theory that, you know, obviously he's off contract at the end of this year, so he'll take on Ireland. They come out, which is going to be an incredible series. Number two in the world at the moment, Six Nations champions.
We're favourites.
And we're favourites. They're exactly right, yeah. So he will play in that. He will get involved in that, no doubt. But outside of that, I'm thinking, is it a one-year deal? Just for Folau to take him through to the World Cup next year with the option in his favour, and he won't take up that option, perhaps. Does he then go back to rugby league, and does he then go back to, say, the New Zealand Warriors, where his wife is currently playing, I think, at the moment, over in New Zealand, playing netball, an international over there, and in a way gets away from all the media and media speculation that's here in Australia at the moment. You just think maybe that's joining the dots and that's the way he could go down the track. Because I think he's disappointed. He's disappointed in how it's been handled and how it was represented. But at the same token, you know, you can have your opinion, as we said last time, but I think he has more of an understanding that he has more of an influence to his followers, and then it gets expanded exponentially, that they need to come down and say, hey, you have your opinion, but don't voice it like that, please.
Now, everyone's got a conspiracy theory on where Israel may end up. And there's an article in today's Telegraph that he may end up at the Brisbane Broncos, with Craig Bellamy in charge in 2020.
Wasn't that a good walkout yesterday from Bennett, though?
He loves it.
He loves a good walkout.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he loves it.
That's enough, fellas. Yeah. He loves that.
That's it. That fires his team up. But you mentioned if he goes to New Zealand, he'll walk away from it. But there's some strong Kiwi influences that have had their say. TJ Perenara.
Yes.
And one of the greatest All Blacks of all time, Michael Jones.
Michael Jones, yes.
Who was a devout Christian who never played on Sundays, thank God.
And have been very, very critical of Israel.
I understand. And I think maybe, because it's coming from that avenue, maybe he then takes more of an understanding and takes more of an understanding of what the impact was about that going to hell comment. As I said before, the Australian Rugby Union have been weak on it, I thought. I thought they needed to come down, not so much harder on it, but just say, hey, mate, you can have your opinion. And I understand it's, and everyone's treading very lightly around the subject as well about having, you know, Daryl Gibson said the other day, you know, we like the players to voice their opinion. When does a player ever voice their opinion? You know, it's a team and let's do it my way type thing. So it's interesting how they're towing the line to allow him to be comfortable in that space.
And if he was a fringe player, he'd be out.
Well, does it change?
If he wasn't a freakish player. If he was a fringe player, there would have been a red button. Press that red button, please.
Does it change if he all of a sudden next week said, I'm out, I'm finishing rugby union at the end of the year? Do you have players come out then and be critical of him?
Perhaps more so.
Yeah.
Perhaps more so. Perhaps players could then come out and say, well, the ARU did the right thing. Well, Rugby Australia did the right thing. And they got a bit more gall about them, if that's the word. They got a bit stronger about the whole situation. But they're tiptoeing from a sponsor's point of view. They're tiptoeing from a re-signing point of view. You know, they, as I said, they want that player to be back in Australian rugby. But at the moment, they're allowing him to have that voice.
Do you think
it's generational though at the moment, because players think their voice matters. Yeah. I don't think it does matter.
Do you think he'd have 100% support at the Waratahs? Or do you think there'd be guys in that dressing shed?
No, not at all. Yeah. There'd be guys in that shed saying, mate, what are you doing? Yeah. Mate, remember, once it comes to an Australian point of view now, when it comes to Wallabies in June, he has David Pocock on his side who is vehemently opposed to what he says. So you're going to have conflict there. I understand there's the yes versus the no and the no versus yes vote. And we saw what happened for the same-sex marriage. And those two blokes had a difference of opinion. But I think it's that next step when he spoke about going to hell. And sadly, it keeps getting brought up in that regard. But I think you can have an opinion, but keep it to yourself.
The next point is when they take on the Irish team and when they play in the Tri-Nations.
Yeah,
three-test series. And then they play the All Blacks and South Africa.
Yep.
If they start to lose, does it then become, because you know what? People in the media are like.
Yeah, exactly right.
Does there then start to become this division within the team?
I'll play devil's advocate here. When they start to lose, unfortunately, I haven't won for a while, Loz. Yeah. That's
what will happen. If the Wallabies start to lose... Yeah. It'll be all about friction in the team.
Who do you point to, exactly right. And remembering those guys, those two teams, New Zealand and South Africa, are both very religious as well, you know. And so religion and politics are always the one that's going to stir the boat, isn't it? And we've seen these guys overseas start to voice their opinion. As you said, TJ Perenara was quite strong the other day. Needed about five tweets to sort of get his point across. You want morale to be high. You just mentioned before with the rugby league, you want morale to be high. You want a good camp. You want a solid camp sticking together, and you don't want friction. You don't want to be able to. I don't think Michael Checker doesn't want to get in there and say, "Hey, you know, we need to sort of sit down and talk about this." He wants to just be able to roll on and play footy. At the end of the day, you want to just play footy. You don't want all the other stuff around you, all the extra stuff that's creating
friction. It'd be funny if Israel, you know, went to South Africa and there was a South African player that said, I believed in apartheid and I think we should go back to that.
Well, and that's
freedom of speech.
Yeah. Well, is he entitled to say that? Does everyone agree with that?
I wonder how you'd go.
I'd see how it'd go over.
I'm just saying.
He certainly wouldn't be in there where they've got quotas that black people, a certain amount of black Africans have to be in their side.
Well, I know this is a different topic.
Do you reckon he'd be in the side?
Well, what I will say, do you reckon all the South Africans agree with the quota system?
No.
No, exactly right.
No.
Different arguments, but everyone's entitled to, everyone's entitled.
Well, they're not really.
Well, I think you're, if you look at rock stars,
Penrith got a life ban. Greg Inglis was the entire.
Well, he didn't get a life ban. He didn't get a life ban.
He's got a life ban.
And what he
the
said
moment.
was very ordinary.
Absolutely,
very ordinary.
Absolutely.
So I'm not saying I agree with Israel Folau. He was answering a direct question on social media.
Again, I go back to, and he said, "I thought this person."
That's
wanted,
what his belief. They wanted to know what help. His. That, yeah, he, they Absolutely. They wanted to know what his belief was.
Correct, and I think that's where he has the influence of where he is at the moment. Mm. That he needs to be mindful of what he's saying in that regard. I think you can take this. You can go down this and talk about this for a long time.